to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello. I'm just thinking about blue cheese now. I've got some in my hand, but
I saw you scoffing some.
Oh, I do.
Have
love
you got
it.
A boiled egg as well?
I've just bought. I was going to, but I didn't want to be egg bound because I had two eggs for breakfast. So I bought. But then I've got an avocado, so that means I'll be having it.
It's
a
amazing
whole avocado.
It's amazing what she has in her handbag.
Yeah.
She is a witch, so she does have eye of newt and a bat and wing of bat and leg of toad and stuff.
Is it like Mary Poppins? It's very small, but lots of things come
exactly
out.
Like that. It's exactly like that. Yeah, and she's, you know, she's got blue cheese.
Yeah,
as you would. You come to do a radio show, and she's got a boiled egg, an avocado, blue cheese.
I've got some pistachios as well.
And some pistachios in the bottom of her bag.
I've also got my shiwi in there because you never know.
You never know.
In a traffic jam.
Very prepared.
I'll tell you why, Danielle, because once. I was driving, I was going to India, and I was going on my own.
As you do, she pulled out of the drive, she goes, shall I turn left or right? I know, I'll turn right and go to India.
Yeah. I was going to Delhi, and as you do, I went to, I think it was Gatwick. Was it Gatwick or Heathrow? I can't remember. I think it might have been Heathrow. And there was a really bad traffic accident, and I'd allowed 3 hours to get there, and it took me four, and it was absolutely gridlock. We couldn't move, and of course I'm in the fast lane, and all the blokes were getting out and weeing on the verge. And I was in a right state because I really needed a wee, and I thought, I'm a lady, I can't get out and wee on the verge. Plus I was in the fast lane, so I would have had to trot through to the grass verge and squat with like all the whole motorway looking at me. It was an awful thing, really. So what I've got is a shiwi, which if you practice first in the shower, that's what they advise you to do, you can pee quite easily standing up like a man against a tree. Yeah, shiwi. You can get them all different colours. So, yeah, because once you've been stuck and you really, really need to go, and it's now I've got a bit of a phobia about going to Heathrow because it was 4 hours. You know,
did you have that on your bingo card when you woke up this morning?
Yeah.
Shiwi. I didn't.
What is a bingo card? What do you mean? Well, a wish list?
Yeah. No.
What is a bingo? Have you been playing bingo this
morning? Oh, I love bingo. No, but things you think, oh, we might talk about that, Oh. I wasn't expecting Shiwi. I hadn't prepped for Shiwi.
No, we haven't. I have no notes about shiwi.
Oh, really? I'm shocked because you've come all the way from Tankerton.
This isn't acceptable. You should have thought of this before you came.
Bingo card, so what was it? Oh, legs 11 and all the fat ladies and whatever.
82 fat ladies.
I like bingo, actually. It reminds me of my childhood. I used to go.
Well, you got the wings, haven't you?
Yeah. I know. Oh, that's so nasty, isn't it?
You were flapping them about earlier and moaning that only women get them.
You say flapping. Right. On air. Oh, and I swim. I've got a pool and I swim like 5 days a week. You'd think, but then just think what I'd look like if I didn't. That's the thing. Yeah, I don't think it's fair. I think that men don't get all that, you know, sagging that women get. I mean, you're young.
I think we do.
I don't think you do, but enjoy it while you're young. That's what I say, Danielle. Because I used to be a chick, you know, and suddenly I've just got old.
You're a very old chick.
I'm a hen that's been laid out and doesn't lay anymore. What are they called? Broiler.
Foul. She's now foul.
I'm a broiler. I'm a broiler. Oh dear. Should we change the subject? But if you do get a shiwi and you tweet them, they love it. You know, it all started, of course, in lockdown when we were all walking like 17 miles, weren't we? Because we were so bored, we couldn't do anything. And all we were allowed 2 hours of exercise. Can you imagine that?
Can you walk 17 miles in 2 hours?
No, maybe I broke, don't
tell the authorities. She's out for 4 hours.
Absolutely.
They'll be after me, won't they? Not only with Darcy
with their body cameras.
Well, what would you say as a woman? So if some guy is filming you walking on your own in a very remote area, I said to my new husband, I'm going to go to prison because I'm going to shout at him and I will get very angry, and B, I'm going to film him back. I'm going to say, you film me, mate, and I'll film you. Because it's not fair, is it?
No, I wouldn't like it.
No. And, you know, there are lots of young girls that walk on their own, and they shouldn't be filming.
No.
Especially in summer, you know, nice little flimsy dresses.
What are they filming for?
To show that the dog is off the lead. when it shouldn't
to be able to fine you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. They get their 100 quid. Meanwhile, in Marine Crescent, where I live, they park all over the pavement. They park all over the double yellow lines. They could come and make money doing that. That's what the locals want. They park all over the grass.
Right, anyway, enough of that.
Domestics. We'll have to meet up for a couple of bottles of wine at the Marine.
That's a good idea. With the dogs.
With the dogs. And Shiwis, of course, because you never know if their toilet was locked or not. They might have a flood.
Have we quite finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we talk to them?
Yeah.
You introduce them, because you're so good.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to, but, you know, I'm trying to build a nice little buffer between Shiwi and introducing the guests, because it just doesn't
work. Crossover or
yeah,
something.
It just doesn't work otherwise, does
it? I'm amazed they didn't have it on their watch list.
on a bingo card, yeah.
What to talk about.
Yeah, anyway, listen, it's an absolute pleasure, as always, to welcome back onto the show Danielle Salvatore and Chris Humphreys from Orbital Internet Group. Orbital were on a few weeks ago, and we had a lot of feedback after the show about people wanting to know a bit more. So we've asked you back, one, to talk about Orbital in general, but two, also to give us a bit of an update on this digital switchover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So what, I don't care who talks, either of you can, or you can both talk at the same time. Does somebody want to give us an overview of what digital switchover is all about?
Yeah, probably Chris. Chris is our techie.
Yeah.
This is what Chris is here for.
I'm the techie one. So basically, we're finally getting with the times in this country. Mm. We're all going fibre, which is great, fast internet again. But the problem with that then is that defaultly you can't run a phone line over fibre. So the solutions are changing. Copper's going, things are getting much more reliable, and things are changing over so that the copper in the ground will go, and you won't have to worry then when it rains that your broadband goes poor, which happens all the time. Mm. And it all goes fibre. So then again, it opens up new features, moving across to what we affectionately call as VoIP, voice over IP, or a VoIP telephone, internet telephone. So
they've also called it a SIP or something as well.
SIP's just the technical phrase for the back end stuff.
I thought that was a savings
pension. yeah. See, they run out of an acronym.
So SIP's the underlying technology, but for most businesses, they'll know it as VoIP.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that opens up more things.
What does VoIP stand for?
Voice over Internet Protocol.
Okay, so is that like the old... Do you remember what we used? It was Skype. Do you remember that? Was that VoIP?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I remember when that first started, and I used to do it with my friend Dougie, who was in France, you know, years ago, and used to get this scissor sound, like... all the time on it. Was quite bizarre, didn't it?
It's come a long way since, and to the point now where even a poor VoIP connection will be much better than your normal analog telephone in your house.
Wow.
It's amazing what you do now, to the point where, well, even in the radio world, I know people now that with a very good internet connection, you could be broadcasting anywhere using VoIP to transfer back to the studio.
Absolutely. If there's the fastest growing radio station in the UK is a radio station called Boom UK. Mm-hmm. Boom are a DAB radio station. They do not own a studio.
No.
All of their presenters and DJs work from home. You can't tell the difference. It's voice tracked, but you can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. It's the technology is unbelievable these days. Yeah.
Yes, and it allows more features. It allows quicker access. So for businesses, if you decide, oh, I'm rapidly growing and I need more telephone lines, or I need to take more calls. Mm. Well, back in the day, you'd go and ask BT or another provider, I need more lines, and it might be a few weeks, it might be a few months.
Yeah.
Where now, well, okay, well we need more telephones. Well, they could be there next day.
I want to develop this, if I may, Chris and Danielle. The starting point of what you just said is very true, except there was one other thing that they used to say to me. You go, I need more lines, and they go, well, it will take a while to do that, and anyway, your PABX hasn't got enough ports in it.
Yeah.
So you need another 8 or 16 port module to have one line. Yeah.
So that's the thing with older boxes, and needed more cards, more things like that to get more lines in. Now, the internet connection you got into your house will support all those lines, and then mean that we've got businesses that have got offices with 100 people in them that can all be on the phone at the same time,
right,
and don't need the copper into the building anymore.
Right. So let's explore how this is going to affect an average kind of small to medium-sized business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the past, a small business, let's set an example. Let's take an example of a business that has maybe 15 employees. They had a small PABX originally with ISDN lines into the PABX. cost quite a bit of money to get it from BT. As we just discussed, upgrading it wasn't always the easiest thing in the world, but there were handsets hanging off it. Mm-hmm. You could do some reasonably clever little things with it as opposed to the old fixed ones, but nothing dramatic. So what's going to happen to that after the digital switch off? Presumably all of that goes and something else replaces it.
So all of that goes, and now the modern products we got now is, so I've got two phones sitting in front of me, one's my personal, one's my work, both on VoIP systems.
Right.
So I can answer my telephone at work or at home anywhere where I've got my phone. So you've got your, you can have a desk phone on your desk.
Right.
You can use it from your laptop or from your phone. So anywhere.
So you would retain, let's say, a Canterbury number, 01227. Yeah. You've got Orbital Internet Group is on 01227, whatever it is.
Yep.
Yeah. If I ring that, it can ring on your mobile.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
And in previously, say, for example, a business was in, say, Tenston, and they had a Tenston number. Mm. But they decided, actually, we want to go to a bigger premises and we want to go to Canterbury. Well, the phone networks didn't like moving numbers around from different exchanges. Now it's just, it's all IP, it's all digital. It doesn't matter where you are.
Absolutely. My American headquarters is in High Holden.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can actually, there's this geo thing, isn't it? Geo numbers where you can get any old number anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But does this mean, Chris, that and Danielle, that we're going to get, you know, all these scammers that just, you know, I get a load of these cold calls, you know, and it's the number, and it looks like a local number, so you think, oh, it's Canterbury, you know, I'll answer. Does this mean it's just going to be like the Wild West?
No. So the problem with all these things is we're banned by Ofcom regulations. So what we do is you can only call out from a number that you own.
Yeah.
So if you're a customer of Orbital, we have protections in place. So, for example, if you're on and there's even more protections coming recently. So, for example, if you're one of our customers, you can't have someone call you that comes up with HMRC.
Yeah.
Because we do checks to know, we know that call's not coming from HMRC, we'll drop it.
Yeah.
So we put the safety features in that, because no one wants to get a call from HMRC to then just to think they're being scammed and get some money out of them.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we do the right thing. We protect our customers, but again, you might not have that with other providers.
Yeah, it is a bit arcane. I mean, I get phone calls that look like a UK number, but when it comes up on my phone, it says Texas, someplace in Texas. Yeah. So you know that it's someone calling from, you know, and they normally come through with an accent that isn't either British or American. But anyway, but what I want to explore, Chris, is if you don't mind, is the physical technology in a small office. Yeah,
sure.
I've got the PABX. I've thrown that in the bin. Yeah,
you don't need an on-site kit anymore.
Right.
So for most of our solutions, the PBX now is digital. It's in the cloud.
Right.
So then, because the worst case then in your business scenario, what happens if they lose power?
Right. Yeah.
Right, and you can protect things with UPSs, but again, you're not going to protect your whole office.
Yeah.
Where for us now, when we're in the office, if we lose power, we've all got mobile phones with data signal. We can then just use our mobile phones and still make business calls.
Okay.
For me, the most professional thing is going and seeing a business that's got a landline number, and you know you're getting through to a local company.
Okay. I want to understand for those of us bears of little brain how this works, because I can see physical things. I'm okay with that. I can point at it and prod it, yeah. So I've cleared out everything I've got, and I go, right, I now need a telephone for my business.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the starting point of that now with the new digital systems? What I need a broadband. Yeah?
Starting point is your connectivity, exactly. Yeah. Right. And that's the move over to fibre.
Right.
So that's moving everything away from copper, move it over to fibre.
Yeah.
Fibre's more reliable, it's more consistent for speeds.
Yeah.
And for VoIP, you do need the prerequisite, the requirement you do absolutely have to have is really solid broadband connectivity to support your telephone system. If you have poor connectivity, you will have a poor telephone system.
Yeah.
It's so important. It's underestimated a lot as well.
I can bear that out on a personal basis, because my home phone is already, we switched in 2018, but I've still got a lump of copper to my house. Yeah, there's only fibre to the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lump of rusty copper that comes across two telegraph poles into my house, and my digital phone is a nightmare. It really is. But let's not worry about that. So for the average business, you need a fibre broadband connection, fibre to the premises, presumably.
If that's what they can access, absolutely.
So is that going in all over the UK?
Yeah, there is a big rollout of fibre to the premises. A lot of what you've just mentioned about City Fibre earlier in Maidstone, they're doing full fibre services centres as well. Yeah. And there's lots of other providers across the whole of the country.
And is that why they're digging up roads and things everywhere? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Because it's infrastructure. So it's, you know, it's altering the existing infrastructure.
And there's a lot of building going on, especially in Kent, we're seeing.
Yeah, the one thing to look at that is, I underestimate, it can be a pain that roads are being shut.
Yeah.
But think of this as short-term pain, long-term gain.
Yeah.
Once the fibre's in the ground today, that will last for decades.
Yeah.
Okay, and it won't need to be touched. Yeah. It will just work. And even us, we're here in Ashford. All around us is our fibre deployment. So we go to customers, and also we believe in not just having a single point of failure.
Right.
So for us, Ashford, we have our full WiMAX service all across. You've got the fibre, and also we can do dedicated lease lines. So if you want a certain speed at a set, so that you're dedicated to having that, more than one service, so that should something happen, no one can control everything. We see all these roadworks now, and someone could accidentally drill through something and cut it off. Yes, there is a really quick SLA. It will be fixed in 4 or 6 hours. But in a business environment, if you come in at 9 o'clock and your connection goes off, you can't afford to be off for 4 hours.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's why we make sure that you've got more than one circuit with a failover technology. So you don't even realise. It will just flip between the two. We know instantly that your service has gone off, and we will get that repaired.
Okay. I want to come back because I'm still on this kick of trying to understand exactly what I need to do as a business.
Number one, broadband.
Yeah, fibre. So we need a broadband, preferably fibre to the premises, but if not, fibre to the cabinet will kind of do, depending on what's available in your area.
As long as it's fast enough, which your ISP can check for you to see exactly what speeds you should get to your premises.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've got a broadband connection. What do I do next?
Well, it's really simple. Once you've got your broadband connection, you just need to approach a provider about getting your new VoIP solution. So if you have existing telephone numbers, you don't have to worry. You can keep those, like Chris touched on earlier. They can all get ported over to a digital system.
Okay.
So you don't have to lose anything. All you're doing really is gaining a lot of functionality and features. Chris mentioned one of the features, which is being able to answer calls on your mobile.
Yeah.
But really, you just need to look at how you need a phone system to work for you. So there isn't too much to consider from that point. It actually really does simplify things.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about multiple lines or anything else like that. Your VoIP provider will be able to talk to you about how many concurrent calls you need. It's quite an important thing with VoIP telephony.
Right.
But then also just how do you want your call flows to work?
Yeah.
We're able to build it to suit people's customers now, which is a really important part of the process.
All right, and that's the next bit that I need to kind of understand.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say for simplicity's sake, there's five of us in this business. And I'm extension one, and she's extension two, and you're extension three, you're extension four. How does that work on a single number, or do you need multiple numbers? How does it
actually... No, you can have a single number. Mm. The system, every phone has an extension, so it has a small number.
Yeah.
So for us, defaultly, that'd be a four-digit number.
Right.
You'll remember everyone's four-digit number, so I can call you, you can call you,
right.
And I can take a call and put it through to you.
Right.
So that doesn't mean that you can take multiple calls in. You may only have four phones, but the systems are supported so that... Have you ever found that when you... The places that you need to call and wait don't have to have what they call queues. So some places you're calling, you're now in the queue.
Yeah.
So you're you're waiting for a certain amount of time.
Any NHS hospital for
or bank.
Yeah.
Or GP.
Unfortunately, my local doctors took 6 years, and finally in the last 6 months they changed it from if you called and there was someone on the phone, it cut you off.
Right.
Didn't even play a message. If you call through, it'll play a 30-second tone, a few second tone, and then cut you off. Now, you sit in a queue.
Right.
So yeah, it's not great to sit in a queue, but... If you need that service, you're well within your means to get through to somebody.
In the past, that queue would have been on an IVR box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case, or are you just queuing in the cloud now?
We're queuing in the cloud, but the problem was for the systems you're talking about, is you were physically limited by the copper into the building. So if you only had four lines, when the fifth call came in, it went nowhere.
It
stopped at the exchange, where for us, our systems can then be worked so they can accept more calls.
Right.
And if over time you decide the business is growing, we need more concurrent calls, then that is a very quick change.
Okay. I just want to come back again because I'm processing all this, if you don't mind, and our listeners
tips
want to understand how this is going to affect them and what they can do.
Absolutely.
So it's important that we understand the basics of it. So if I want to call Danielle, who's on 01233 whatever extension 0001, how do I make that call? do I call just the main number? In a moment, what happens is I'll call a number, somebody will answer it, and I'll go, can I speak to Danielle on extension 001? Mm-hmm. And then they'll put me through. Mm-hmm. How will that work in future?
So, multiple options. So, some customers will say, right, well, as soon as you get through to us, it'll play you a message and what's called, what we would call an IVR, or menu system.
Yeah.
So, you call someone, accounts is option one, sales is option two. So, you can do that. Or, it will just simply say, if you know the extension number of the number you're dialing, please place it now. So, a lot of things now is that will happen. You go to a, we've got many firms that will in the bottom of their email signature say I'm extension 3344.
Right.
So then people call up, they put 3344 in, and they get straight through to the person I want to speak to.
Okay.
So they're cutting the queues and straight through.
So basically, what you're telling me is the all the functions of an old PABX and IVR box are now software.
Yeah. Yes.
A load more that were never physically possible, or were only physically possible if you had a multitude of physical landlines. Which, by the way, we're missing an obvious thing here is that the multiple landlines, you would pay for every single
line.
That's not how it works with VoIP. So right. VoIP, we've been talking about this since 2015, since it was announced by Openreach to say that it's all being moved over. Yeah. We've been saying you can save money by moving over to VoIP anyway, regardless of this switch off coming up. You should be moving over as long as you've got the correct infrastructure, your foundations with your good broadband, because you can save a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you just go over some of the features that VoIP is going to have for us?
Absolutely. So things like, for example, calling some companies, you might only be able to call for an hour or 2 hours, and then you have to stop and redial. We know customers who have had calls open for days.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Again, you have menu systems, so you can call in and get to the direct department you want, and not just one level, multiple layers. So you can go through to an account system, and then, do you want new business or renewals, and then down and down and down. It's a massive, think of it as a flow chart. You can build the flow chart.
Okay.
Again, custom voicemails, emailing that too. So if someone's out on the road, they get the voicemail, direct dial numbers, conference calling, anything you like, the systems can do it these
absolutely.
Days.
Absolutely. And of course, I have a business that was based in Maidstone, mm-hmm. and we've shut the office, and everybody works from home. We kept the number, so everybody still dials the same number, but they can speak to any of our people wherever they are.
Exactly that.
Yeah, they don't have to be in Maidstone.
And they're all on a mobile phone. None of them are on.
Well, you can do. That VoIP phone there, you can pick it up and take it home.
Yes.
You can take it home and plug it in at home.
Yeah.
Or you can use your soft phone, like Chris said, on your laptop. Or you can, if you've got a VoIP phone, a VoIP solution that does facilitate a mobile app, which Art One does, then you're able to answer on your mobile phone as well. And as far as the customer's concerned, you're in the office or wherever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of, elderly people, not necessarily businesses. Like my mum, 93, she's got an iPhone, which we made her have one, but... I think sometimes a landline for an elderly person is more...
But you're talking about domestic switchover now, and that's a different kettle of fish, because there are a lot of problems with that at the moment.
Yeah.
So people that have got lifelines, like old people, it won't work unless you switch to a GSM-based lifeline.
And that's a really important thing to mention, actually, that we did have as a note, is just to mention that a big thing to consider, and you must talk to your providers or the vendors of the services you've got, if you've got alarm lines, door entry systems, red care lines, lift lines, all of these are likely to be affected by the switch off.
So, burglar alarms as well, or not?
Potentially burglar alarms. It depends on how they were fitted, but that's why it's talk to your vendors to make sure and see if the switch off is going to affect you, because it's especially things like lift lines, care lines, they're so important. So make sure you do it early as well, because the other thing we're telling people is don't wait until the switch off is finalised in December 25. Do it now, because otherwise everyone's going to be doing it, and suddenly things get complicated and longer.
It was interesting. I don't tell anyone, there's no one listening. I had to call a BT engineer to my mum's phone the other day. The box on the wall got broken. Somebody opened the door and smashed the box. And they came and replaced it on the same day that a letter arrived telling my mum she was going to be switched over. And she's got a lifeline and all that kind of stuff. And I said to the Openreach engineer, we just got this letter. And he went, don't ignore it. He said, when we turn up to do those jobs, if it's an old person with a lifeline, we just won't do the job at the moment. We just can't, because they've got until... they've got some way of making the phone work in a power cut, for instance, we can't do it. So he said we're looking at providing battery backup systems and stuff like that.
I was just going to mention that. The other thing to mention is, because people's common question is, if we're moving everything to digital, what happens when the power goes out? Because your internet goes out, so do your phones, which absolutely they do.
And we know it's happening more.
Exactly,
more and
that.
More the power.
Exactly. And there's a couple of options. There's VoIP phones you can get that have battery backup built into them. They can cost a little bit more, but if you need that extra layer of security, it's there. But Chris mentioned it. You probably said it so quickly, you may not have heard him. But he said UPS earlier, which is it's something you can apply to.
Uninterruptible power supply.
Word. Uninterruptible
power supply. I see from this side of the studio, you guys got them here.
We've got a UPS here.
And for businesses...
That's why Paul knew what it was, and I
For businesses, in my opinion, that is critical. Because well, here we are in 2024, but power still in Kent is still not great. You know, we still have issues. We still have storms happening, and these things have to react. So having in your business, if I always say, if you can't afford to have an outage, then you've got to protect against everything: power, multiple circuits, and failover.
Can I ask a question here?
Hang on, is it like a generator then? When you say battery,
a UPS is like a battery backup. I've been
not a generator.
No.
That's the second stage. So for us, one thing we've put into our office now is we have a two-step system. So we do have a UPS, and that will power our comms equipment for around an hour. Right. So that's to protect if it dips and it comes back. But say, for example, we get a letter from the UK Power Networks, it can be off from multiple times. Then you can put devices in chain, so that you power a generator up. You have a changeover switch, and you're running off the generator. So nothing then happens, and you switch over.
So that would be what a hospital would use, or a GP.
Absolutely. Anything where you need critical power, you have to have the backup.
UPS technology has come on leaps and bounds. I first put in UPSs 25 years ago, and look, back then they were a pain in the bum, because if you took a little spike on the power, even a small dip, they would try and cut in and then actually crash your machines because the UPS tried to cut in. It doesn't really work like that anymore. I wanted to ask another technical question about power cuts, though. If you receive calls to your mobile phone to that number, would you still, if there was a power cut in this building, you'd still get the calls, presumably?
Correct.
Because again, not only again for users that need that, there is Ofcom regulation regarding 4 hours of power backups, but that is also the case where mobile phone providers need to have that at the sites and things like that. So they should be protected against that.
So your phone will be coming from your office or your venue,
the cloud,
by your little cloud and your battery or whatever it is.
Because the particular solution that we use has a mobile phone app, so all of the calls can be funneled straight through to Chris's phone. So even if you have a power cut at the office, it doesn't affect Chris being able to receive calls still on his mobile phone, as long as he's got battery.
So how does it work then? If you swan off to Honolulu for a holiday,
have still works.
Few cocktails, you're using the same. So does this mean we won't have all these silly Vodafone charges and things when we go abroad, or does it skip those?
You still may have issues, you still need data. You still need a data connection. Again, and most resorts and hotels and restaurants now, it's the common thing is you walk in somewhere, where's the Wi-Fi code? So if you've got Wi-Fi, you can do anything you like wherever you like with Wi-Fi. Say our stuff's in our secure data center, which also is called the bunker, and it's MOD proof.
I've been there.
MOD proof. It's underground, bomb proof. So
it's not rat proof though, or it never used to be.
it's pretty rat proof now.
Yeah, no, it probably is. But many years ago, before you guys had it, it was we used to have my servers were based there.
We were talking about that on the way over, that you had your servers in there.
All of my servers were based there, and we had a RAID system. But that backed up between the servers, and it went down once, and the whole thing crashed. And I said, "How did that happen?" They went, "Yeah, rat got in there, bit through the gables."
not nowadays. It's all airtight, and
it's a nuclear bunker, isn't it?
Absolutely.
At one point, it was bathed in halon gas as well. I don't know if they're still doing that.
I don't know about that, but I know nowadays you're not getting on site without permission and paperwork.
It's very handy though if Putin goes.
That's what you said.
That's the first thing I said.
I'm just going to check the servers.
It's 15 minutes from my house, and I'm there regularly doing installing new customers. That's the first place I'm going should anything kick off.
And filling up the bath, of course.
Exactly.
So you see it as a, obviously you see it as a good thing. But is it good for the customer though?
Absolutely. It's flexibility. There's cost saving, and again, it's all about, everyone wants to stay connected. So wherever you are, you can stay connected, have your phone, and you don't need to be. You need to be linked to your phone and at the office or in a certain place.
Yeah.
And not only is it good for our customers, but it's good for our customers' customers. Yeah. The end user is the one who really gets a lot of the benefit from all of the features that you get on the phone systems, because they can get to people quicker, they can get to the correct people. There is a lot more to it. And you don't have to use all of the features. Lots of businesses probably use less than a third, I would say, of everything that you could possibly do. But there's a whole host of options out there.
The biggest thing onboarding new customers is they go, right, well, we want to replicate what we've got today, and then we'll play with it for 6 months. We always call it the bedding in period, because they, right, we're used to this. Can it do X? Can it do Y? Can it do Z? Yes, of course. And they slowly migrate to a different, how they've got it set up.
Yeah.
Because for some people, they may only be a small business of 10, but they want to appear as a bigger business because the customer needs that. So yeah, they might only have 5 people answering the phones, but if you've got a menu system and you've got 5 different options, then you know what they're calling for and you can act accordingly.
Absolutely. Me and the missus, we've got a North American office, we've got a Far Eastern office, we've got a Southeast Asia office, and they're all in my front room. I just had a message from Mike Thompson of Anytech. We use VoIP for Anytech, couldn't be without it. Virtual numbers are also great. Loving this tech discussion.
Well, he loves
geek. He's a geek too.
He loves a tech talk, doesn't he?
Hello,
Mikey.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's benefit, you know, sticking to business based VoIP.
Yep.
And I've been a business based VoIP user for a long, long time. It works. It just works. It does the things that you want it to do. There's lots of things that you can do. I'm not a great fan of the domestic switchover because I've had problems with that, big problems with that.
Like you say, it's a whole different kettle of fish, and the opportunity for better broadband is harder if you're residential, but that is slowly changing.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Hopefully that will accelerate.
Yeah. It is very frustrating. I'll tell you very quickly. I was very frustrated by this a few years ago when I only got 1 megabyte up. Yeah, which was a little bit slow. Yeah, even back then, and I was trying to do something about it, and I spoke to BT, and they initially offered me a thing called a GSM service. I don't know if you come across it, it's old technology now, but and it back then it was like £200 a month. It was blooming expensive, and it was specialist kit in my house. Yeah, and they arrived and they started cabling my house and everything. And then they said, we've got to order the kit now, and that'll come in a couple of weeks. 6 months later, no sign of it. And then they came back and said, nah, we can't supply that. And I never did get it. Although they tried to bill me for it for 6 months. But, so at home, I still struggle. You know, I live in a fairly rural area, and that's the problem, you know. I have used other solutions like VFast, which worked really well for a couple of years until the trees grew.
Yeah, line of sight's definitely an issue.
Yeah, and VFast is a WiMAX network, yeah. Maybe just give us a quick overview of what WiMAX is.
So for us, for WiMAX, it's line of sight technology. So we partner with people around the county. We've got rooftops, we've got businesses that host our equipment. And then we put small little antennas. Actually, our smallest antenna is about the size of a big smartphone. So if you've got a plus phone, a bigger phone, similar size to that, on the top of your house, that points to your local church tower or business or something like that, and it's line of sight technology. So unfortunately, in some of the rural areas, it's a bit more challenging with the trees and the lovely countryside, but we do our best then to get the best service possible.
Yeah. So the thing is, there are lots of solutions to some of these things as well, aren't
there? Absolutely.
It's just finding the best one for you and your situation.
Absolutely. And you can check, your ISP should be able to check for you and be looking at your property and then do surveys, desktop surveys, to ascertain what they think the best solution is. Yeah. You can't always tell from desktop, so sometimes you need to also follow up with a physical survey.
Yeah.
But your ISPs should really be helping you figure out what the best solution is for you, especially as a rural location.
I'm laughing because I regularly get adverts from like BT and stuff like that going, you can get this. And I go, yeah, I'll have that. And they go, no, you can't get that.
Quite common, unfortunately.
Oh, well, really?
You're in the postcode where some people can get it, just not yet.
Like, just because you're in CT doesn't mean you can get full fibre everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Truly and those guys that are doing...
they're everywhere, aren't they, Truly?
Well, they are everywhere except my house. Oh. Yeah. Because they're going, we're coming to Tenterden. And I go, brilliant. And I'm going, when can I have it? No, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why? Well, we're coming to Tenterden Town Centre, not your house. But you've got to come past my... Yes, I know, but you can't have it.
It
was a pain. I'm just going to have to move.
Yeah, so the thing is with some of these companies, for them it's all about houses passed.
Yeah.
So they can say they've passed your house, but again, we've had that where we've taken whole villages such as Barham over near Canterbury, and we've done everywhere we can. But not just the easiest.
You know
spots.
Where that is, don't you, Jules?
Well, that Barham.
Near Aylsham.
Oh yes, not Aylesford.
So that's all covered by our fibre now with our engineering. Whereas you say some of our competitors decide, oh, we'll go down the main street and off to the next village. Yeah, yeah, you've covered 10 houses, and you say you've now covered the village. No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm the recipient of one of your fibre lines in one of my businesses in Tenterden, which is lovely.
Fantastic.
And I get hundreds of, because I'm the only one there most of the time, so I get hundreds of megabytes all to myself. It's quicker than I am.
Yeah.
It transports it quicker than I can type it. No, that's great. Just so thank you for that, both of you, giving us an overview of that, because, you know, it is important because a lot of people don't understand the basics of the technology. So kind of getting a view, a sight of what it is. And it is a fundamental change and an incredible amount cheaper than the old way of doing things. You know, you'd spend £3,000 or £4,000 on a small PBX these days, and back in my day, almost £1 million. I'll tell you a very funny story. Many years ago, more than 30 years ago, I was head of telecoms for Citibank. And we were moving from analog PBXs to the first digital PBXs. Okay.
Oh, wow.
3705. It was IBM's part number for their PBX. Yeah. And this PBX actually took up the whole basement of the building. It was massive.
Mm.
And IBM came along to do a sales presentation on their new all singing, all dancing digital PBX. Yeah. And the guy got up to do the presentation, and his presentation on his laptop failed.
Oh, no.
And bless him, and we're all sat there stunned, he did an hour's presentation by pointing at things that weren't there and going, and then it does this, and then it does this, and then we're all going, we can't see anything. You're going, no, don't just follow my finger. Yeah. It was hilarious. He was a real trooper, this guy. And we installed one of the first digital PBXs, which was a massive change in technology then, because you could do really interesting stuff like move extensions without hardwiring them. Wow. You know, a big deal. So
I think it can often sound a lot more intimidating than maybe it really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's often fear of change with most things, and this is a big change. It's our infrastructure.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's putting in a new solution that's more scalable, that's going to save you money and offer you more features.
Yeah.
There really is. The only con, I suppose, that you could possibly associate to this switchover is that the reliability of your connectivity is even more vital than it was before, and that could potentially be what costs you a bit more, but you'll offset that with your VoIP savings anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, really there's no negatives to this. It's a real positive, and it's a real way to future-proof your business now.
Yeah.
This will last you for, like Chris said, many, many years.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we don't actually need to know all this about the technology, although it's interesting to know, but we don't need to know about it, you know, as business people running a business, we don't need to worry about it. And there's a lot of things that are now easier, you know, as we explained in the past, if you wanted to expand, you had to buy new hardware to go onto your PBX and order new lines and all kinds of, now it's very configurable.
Yes. Yeah?
You ring up your supplier and go, yes. Can I have?
Absolutely. Yeah. We get businesses every day saying, I've got three new starters. How long is it going to take to get them set up on the system? 20 minutes.
Yeah. Wow, 20 yeah. minutes. Yeah. And what is your patch? Do you go outside Kent?
Absolutely.
So go anywhere?
We're yeah. national.
Up absolutely. To Scotland?
Yeah, we've Wales. Been Scotland as well, yeah. We've got a few brands of our business. So one of the more recent brands is called VFast Parks, which is providing connectivity to holiday parks. And okay. we've got a few of those up in that direction.
Wow.
Well, they're okay. all around the coast. They're in some lovely areas, to yeah. be honest. So they're quite nice to visit. Nice
yeah, ones. Exactly.
Yeah.
Day in the little country park. The food in Scotland is incredible.
Just absolutely.
Just for what it's worth, funnily enough, when I first knew Orbital, mm-hmm. yeah,
many years ago,
you were our original ISP and mm-hmm. we hosted our service with you.
We were just down the road.
And you were next door. Yeah. I was just going to say, your office was next door to where we're sitting right
we're
now.
We're still there.
How are you?
Yeah, 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 we still got that. It's one of our points of presence in here, and that's mm-hmm. one of the points for our fibre network, and it's still, we don't have any physical staff in that office now.
Right.
But yeah, it's still a major point of our network here in Ashford, providing all the local community.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just for the last few minutes of the show, because it's been a fascinating discussion for us semi-techies. Give us an overview of everything that the Orbital Internet Group does.
Sure. Well, just to round up on the ISDN stuff, just a couple of last things we would say is the first thing businesses should do is arrange an audit with your MSP or ISP.
Yeah.
Do it now. Don't do it later. Check with those providers or vendors for those alarm lines and CCTV. That's really important.
Yeah.
And then just plan and prepare. And if you just don't know and you don't know who to talk to, just ring Orbital. And we have we have people sat in there in the team who are happy to discuss, no obligation, just discuss the options with you. Look, it doesn't take them a few minutes to do it. They're happy to help.
Right.
So feel free to call them instead if you'd like.
Fantastic. Okay.
And then Orbital, we've got so much going on at the moment. I'm trying to pick from my list what
yes,
to talk
go
about
through
first.
Your list.
Well, one of the first things actually I'd like to mention is we're hosting in May a Ladies in Leadership Day at Ascot in partnership with one of our wholesale partners, Sky Wholesale.
Mm.
And we're appealing to any ladies who are in senior leadership or director roles to come along for the day and enjoy the races. We'll take care of everybody. All the food's included, all the entertainment's included for the day. So anyone who'd be interested in taking part in that, please do contact us.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it'll be a really good day.
That sounds really good. What was the date?
It's in May. I believe it's the 12th. It just changed, so now I'm not sure.
And what's it called? Ladies in Leadership.
Ladies, it's all on our social media. It's everywhere.
I'll tell you what, Danielle, once you've got all the details of that and the dates, just email me and we'll promote it on the radio.
Excellent. That'd be lovely. That'd be great. But we're 26 years this year, Orbital Internet Group, and so much has changed. We have so much more going on now than ever before. It's really hard to keep track. But this last 12 months, we've taken part in a lot of, because our head office is in Kent, so we wanted to give back. And the Kent community is unlike any other when it comes to businesses.
We
just operate differently. The businesses really do support each other.
Kent is the second largest county for small businesses in the country as well. There's 144,000 small businesses.
It's really vibrant business community.
So what is it you're doing in Kent?
So we've got a few things. We are now sponsors of Kent Cricket, so
that's
just started this year.
At Canterbury
Kent Cricket Club, we were at the St Lawrence Ground the other week for their media day, where they were launching all of their sponsorship packages and had all the cricketers in there. It was a really good day, actually. We also are sponsors of Gillingham Football Club, which we started last year. They're just about to round up their season, actually, but don't ask me how they did.
They're on the edge of the playoffs.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so they could well make the playoffs at least,
excellent.
Which would be good.
That would be fantastic,
Johnson Kent, which is one of my businesses, we sponsored Gillingham for a season, and it was the greatest thing I ever did, because we had a sponsorship board on the ground, and they drew Chelsea in the FA Cup, okay, and Chelsea smashed them, obviously, and every goal that went in, our board was behind it.
Excellent.
So, and it was on the TV, so it was... That one game paid for our entire year's sponsorship.
Well, of course, what they've just done is they've just upgraded it, and now they've got LEDs all the way around the pitch. That's their latest innovation.
Advertising at football grounds is unbelievable, because depending on where you're watching, you can see a different advert.
Yes.
Yeah. It's spookily clever, some technology these days, isn't it? It's worrying. Some of it, yeah.
It is.
I interrupted. Did carry on telling us about the things you're doing.
No, the only other... We do a little bit of work with the rugby club, and you can see it's a bit of a sports theme going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Sports sponsorship and art sponsorship are both very big things because they provide a lot of help to the community.
Exactly.
The only thing better than sport and art is sponsoring radio stations. I'm just saying.
That's a good one.
That is the ultimate, yeah. But you don't find many that are available.
We don't sponsor radio, but outside of the sports, the only other thing we are doing this year is there's the Kent Teacher of the Year Awards.
I presented that year before last.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
so we're sponsoring that this year.
Yeah.
And that's coming up in, I think that's May as well.
Yeah, I just saw that on your... on your feed, actually, on your Twitter.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot going on this year. Too much to keep track of.
I love the fact that you're giving back to the community.
Yeah, me too. I was just about to say the same thing. Yeah. It's fantastic that you're putting stuff back into the local community because organisations like yours that are very successful, it just helps everybody with things like that. So it's really great. And as you say, we do have a very vibrant and connected community, business community in Kent, which is lovely.
Oh, you'll see our sales teams at all these networking events. There's more networking events than I think we've got members of our sales team, but they try and be at almost all of them because they're just building relationships with people. I'm constantly getting the sales team come to me and say, oh, I met this person at this networking event, do you want to do this, do you want to do that? Referrals going on all over the place, so it really does, it's a really nice community to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see Sergio at the Cave Hotel has given you the a lovely testimonial there.
Yes, he's part of our new promotional video that we just launched last year, actually, we did that. So that's with Sergio from Cave Hotels and also Daniel from Salvatore Logistics. He's our other co-host on our promotional video. Mm. So that was a really good day, actually, doing the filming with that. It was with a company called Blueprint, and they were fantastic.
Fantastic.
What did Blueprint do?
They did all of the filming, so they did the video for us.
Are they Kentish?
Yeah, they're in Kent as well.
It rings a bell. I don't know if they've been on the show.
They were from a networking event. That's how we found them.
Yeah, networking is good.
Yeah, exactly that.
Danielle, Chris, thank you so much for that. For explaining to us dummies how the technology works. It's really interesting stuff.
Great.
Thank you so much. If people want to find out about Orbital and the things you do, give us a shout for your website.
Yes, at orbital.net.
Okay, there you go. Nice and simple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, orbital.net. Do check them out. They're a fantastic Kent-based business that cover the nation. They've been a rip-roaring success in the 26 years that they've been going, and they've gone from strength to strength to strength and added to. Do you still provide hosting and ISP services?
Yes.
Do you really?
I'm onboarding new customers monthly into the data center.
Okay, cool.
And their Twitter is Orbital Internet, so that does what it says, and you can follow them. And they are also, look at this, services to our customers in the UK, USA and Canada.
We are international.
And it's all down in the bunker, I think,
for
a glass of something.
Well, your head office is in Beaksbourne, isn't it?
Yes.
Cool.
Where's Beaksbourne?
Yeah. Just outside of Canterbury.
Right next to Howlett Zoo.
I know Howlett Zoo.
It's a lovely area, and we can be within the middle of Canterbury. You can get into the middle of Canterbury within 10 minutes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris, Danielle, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure, as always, and we look forward to you coming back in the future and talking to us more about the technology that's having an impact on all of us, to be honest, and most of it good. Yes. Yeah, it's a kid. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I've had a tweet I haven't had a tweet. I've had a message.
Oh, a message.
A WhatsApp message from Zeenat Nirani.
Oh.
She says, hi, Paul and Jules. I'm not tweeting at the moment or Xing.
Why is she not?
She doesn't say, but she's talking about you talking about X. So she's not tweeting or Xing, lol. But I am listening while I whistle and work. What a great show on the Business Bunker. So thank you for that, Zeenat.
And Colin Harkness, our wine buff.
Apostrophe king.
He says the same happened to his son in Brussels last night. Had his phone snatched. So I've got loads of people getting their phones stolen, actually.
Yeah, well, it's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And Martin Reeves says that his mother is being well looked after at Warren Lodge with Bupa UK. Staff are very professional, are actually in some ways part of our family.
Right.
So I was wishing his mother well.
Yeah, he had to pop out just now, didn't he, to go and get some emergency medicines. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
We have a Margate-based models and collectibles group, Hornby, and they've acquired Corgi Model Club.
Oh, I remember Corgi cars. Yeah,
I do. From Blue 14, it's an investment vehicle majority, and it's owned by entrepreneur Jim Lucock. And they launched in 2021 as a third-party partnership with Hornby, and they create and sell contemporary editions of classic Corgi models from the archives through a monthly subscription model. And the team is based in Southampton with a factory in Swansea. Its management is now set to join Hornby, while Guy Stanthorpe, who's the MD of CMC, has been named the brand MD of the wider Corgi business.
Yeah, because Hornby are based in, what, Deal or Dover? Somewhere
around
there.
Yeah, they are still. I love that. Mm. Well done.
Yeah. Cool. What else you got? We've got 3 minutes.
Well, I'd have to gabble, but...
you're good at gabbling.
Yeah, we still have those windmills that are for sale. So if you fancy a windmill... the go-ahead, you could buy one, and they are based in Chillenden Mill, Union Mill, Cranbrook, Herne Mill, Draper's Mill, Margate, Meppham Mill, Davison's Mill, Stelling Minas, West Kingsdown Mill, and Stocks Mill in Wittersham.
They're all owned by KCC at the moment, and they're trying to sell them off.
I fancy a windmill.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
The one in Cranbrook I know very well. It's a very nice one. It's already been converted as a home.
Yeah, do they feel... Have you been up in one ever?
Yeah, I've been up in that one, yeah.
Is it like a windy staircase?
Yeah.
I don't know whether I might be a bit claustrophobic going up a windy staircase.
Well, they're quite big and open.
Yeah.
As long as you don't get your head caught in the fans, they go around.
Oh, that would be a big problem for me. 6'3", I'll get my head caught.
Yeah.
But if you fancy a windmill, contact Kent County Council.
Yeah.
KCC.
What else you got?
Well... I read this out last week, so I'm not going to read that. I'm looking for something small. Customers in Kent were left without... Oh, we've mentioned that. Sainsbury's, we know about that. We mentioned it earlier about their outage. Mm-hmm. New life has ignited in a former fire station. See, ignited what they did there. A disused Victorian building underneath the arches in New Road, Chatham. You can sing that. Underneath the arch. Has been transformed into a Nepalese restaurant.
As you do.
Gurkha Fire has been created by the owners. And it's
that's the old fire station brasserie, isn't it?
Yeah. It's an award-winning eatery already based in the town and officially opened at the weekend. Guests include the Mayor of Medway, Councillor Nina Gurung, who attended the ceremony where they were offered a range of Nepalese, Indian and Indo-Chinese cuisine. Has made me very hungry.
Right, we've reached the end of the show. We've reached the end of an era, too.
Yes.
This is the very last Business Bunker show broadcast from our Ashford studios. As from next Tuesday, we'll be broadcasting from our new Tenterton studio. I want to say a huge thank you to the folks at Kent Space, which is where we're based here in Wootton Road in Ashford. They've been absolutely brilliant to us for the 7 or 8 years we've been here.